CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Monday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We get together every weekday at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible. We want to encourage you to give us a call. If you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, someone's asked you a question, or you just are puzzled about all the crazy stuff going on in the world, 888-ASK-CSN. Number to call. We'll do our very best to get to your question. Again, what does the Bible really say about that topic? You know, so many different groups, cults, just take one or a couple of verses, build a whole theology upon it, disregarding what the other verses say about that topic. Well, the Bible says, Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not just the ones we like. Now, unfortunately, for many people, that really affects their church dogma. In other words, that's what our church believes, and that's what we're going to stand by. Doesn't matter what the rest of the Bible says. You know, my mind's made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Well, again, what does the Bible really say about that? We want to look at that to come to the conclusion, because when you know the truth, it'll set you free. And when you're free indeed. Joining me today, special guest and CSN speaker that comes on weekend times, we have with us Scott Parker from Festus Calvary Chapel, Missouri. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Mike. It is great to be with you here on this day after Palm Sunday. And as yes. we were talking before the program, you know, it sounds like we both taught on that special subject of Jesus entering into Jerusalem to begin that last week of his, well, his, I guess we could say the last week of his earthly life, at least in his first coming, but coming to sacrifice himself for our sins. And man, we just had a wonderful time yesterday in church discussing that, talking about that, preaching and teaching on that. And so anyway, it's just a great time of year right now to get ready and get geared up to share about the resurrection of Jesus this weekend. And Amen. I'm looking forward to it. And I know you are too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really great that, again, God has chosen to step out of time and walk with man he created. And to die for us, to take our place. That's what this week is all about, everyone, is that while Jesus is being scrutinized by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, shall we pay taxes or not, they asked Jesus. And they would ask many other questions, trying to examine exactly who he was, what his doctrine was. If we can discount him, we can discount his message. But they couldn't. And across town, they other priests were examining all the lambs that were to be offered up for the Passover sacrifice. You see, Jesus was the Paschal Lamb that took away the sins of the world. You're in my sins? Hey, something we could never pay. And then he reconciles us to himself, not as some faraway, unknowable God, but a God that says, I want you to call me Daddy. I like that. No cults offer that. It's always some distant thing. And again, when we understand that Jesus Christ is God, that there is no other God in the entire universe, anywhere, any place, other than the God we serve. Isaiah 44:6, I am God alone, and besides me, there is no other. You're never going to be a God yourself someday. You're never going to rule over your own planet. No, there's no marriage in heaven except one. We, as the bride of Christ, will be married to him forever. And friends, that's something that we all look forward to. So I just want to encourage you, give us a call, 888-ASK-CSN. If you got a question, we're going to go ahead and go to the phones. We have Linda on the line in California. Hi, and welcome.
Good afternoon, pastors. Happy Holy Week and happy Holy Monday.
Amen. How may we help?
My question for you both is spiritual warfare. I have been experiencing such severe, brutal warfare. Please, what do you guys do when you're attacked?
You always battle the devil in Jesus' name. You always keep Jesus between you and the enemy. In the book of Jude, Michael, the mightiest of angels, went in dispute over Moses' body with Satan. He said, the Lord rebuke you. It's not I rebuke you or I'll mate you mano a mano, man to man. No, no, you always keep Jesus between you and the enemy. You see, he's had 6,000 years experience over us. He knows how, and men, basically, the way human nature responds, but we don't want to meet him in that. We have to meet our spiritual enemy in a spiritual plane, and that is through Jesus Christ. And the authority, the Bible says that Jesus Christ has given to you. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. You see, that is the source of our dealing with the enemy. So whether we're dealing with the devil, demons, lust, things of the world, hey, listen, our satisfaction, our solution to our issue is in Christ Jesus. And so always keep Jesus between you and the enemy. Scott, your thoughts?
I agree with that totally. And, you know, here's the thing. Paul tells us how to handle spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6 in verses 10 through 18. And it's interesting because, and I find this very interesting, because number one, he starts off talking about spiritual warfare this way. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So when it comes to spiritual warfare, we don't fight the devil in order to win. We have already won in Christ because Jesus defeated the devil at the cross and through his resurrection, and he has all power over Satan. So what we do in spiritual warfare, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. And when you read Ephesians chapter 6, in speaking about spiritual warfare and how Christians should respond and how we should, what we should do during those times, is you'll find out that the theme that we get from this portion of scripture is that we are to stand. We're to stand. We're to stand firm on what? We're to stand firm on what Christ has done for us. We're to stand firm in the victory he's already won for us. In fact, it was John the apostle who said this. He says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's our faith in those difficult times in what Christ has done for us that gives us the victory over Satan, no matter what he tries to bring against us. And so it's very interesting because in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, what's interesting is this, and this might get a little heady, but in the Greek, those words put on the whole armor of God, they're in the Greek, they're in a tense where it means this, put on the whole armor of God once and for all. In other words, put on the armor of God and never take it off. And so many times as Christians, you know, we put on the armor, but then we'll take it off. You know, instead of praying like we should, we'll do something else. Instead of sitting down with the scriptures and reading the scriptures, we rather watch TV and we take off the armor. Paul says, put it on and leave it on. Why? Because the devil never takes a break. He's always coming against us. And most of the time, our spiritual warfare, it's this. Either the devil is trying to tempt us to sin or he's trying to deceive us into something. And so the only way to make sure that we stand victorious during those times of spiritual warfare is to stand in faith in the victory Jesus already won for us. Put on the armor of God. Don't take it off. And then you'll have what you need to be able to stand against him. And I would add this at the very end, as you read about the armor of God, it talks about prayer. It talks about the word of God. But when you come down at the end, it ends with praying, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. So Paul says, put on the armor. And part of that armor and what we should do after we have the armor on is to pray, is to seek the Lord and to give these battles we go through to him and let him fight our battle. Also, James, the brother of Jesus, told us in James chapter 4, he said this, when it comes to overcoming the enemy, he said this, number one, submit yourselves to God. And then number two, resist the devil and flee from him. Now, we cannot resist the devil and he'll flee from us. The devil's not going to flee from us just because we try to resist him. We can't resist him in our own power. That's why James says, first, submit to God, then resist the devil. When we submit ourselves to the Lord by doing what? By putting on the armor of God, by coming to him in prayer, giving him all of these battles, then what happens is the Lord will give us the strength we need to be able to say no to the devil, no to his temptations, no to his lies, and then be able to have the joy of having Satan then being vanquished and him leaving us. And so really, when you look at the scriptures, when it comes to spiritual warfare, it's not we fight for victory, but we fight from victory. And Paul tells us how to do it there in Ephesians 6, and James tells us as well there in James chapter 4. So, Mike?
Amen. I hope that that answers it for you.
It does. Thank you so much. God bless the both of you.
Linda, God bless you. Stay in line. Send you out some books, some DVDs, and happy Resurrection Week to you. And if you need us, we're here for you. Let's go to Daryl, Longview, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering if you've heard of the teachings of Cornelius Stams, Bullinger, and J.C. O'Hare.
I haven't. Have you?
You know, I haven't. No, I haven't, Mike. Those names are not familiar to me. Now, I tell you what, that middle name, Bullinger, I have heard and seen that name before, I think maybe in some commentaries. But what I have found just by doing a quick look on the internet is it appears that all of these men, at least Stams and O'Hare, seem to be part of what's called the Berean Bible Society. I keep seeing that name come up in association with those two names. And just doing a very cursory reading right off the internet, it seems like they seem pretty like solid gospel preaching and teaching people. But again, I can't say for sure because I don't know them, but that's just what I found very quickly just looking at the internet. Mike?
I hope that helps.
Yeah. The only thing that I find about them that's a little troubling is they say that grace only started with the teachings of Paul.
Mm. Oh, no, that's not correct. We find God's grace extended all the way through the Bible. The woman caught in adultery, thrown at Jesus' feet. That was mercy. Mercy was not giving her what she deserved, but God's grace is giving us what we don't deserve, and that was a pardon. I don't see that. Do you?
No, you know, Mike, you go all the way back in the Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you find Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I mean, grace is all the way through scripture from beginning to end. And you know why? The reason grace is found all the way through the Bible is because the only way to have a right relationship with God is by faith. And, you know, Paul says that our salvation and our relationship with God is by faith, that it might be through grace. So faith and grace go hand in hand. So once you get away from a relationship with God being through faith in what he has said to us, even Abraham, oh my goodness, Abraham, Genesis 15, 6 is a foundational scripture that Paul uses in his writings. He quotes Genesis 15, 6, going back to Abraham, saying when he's trying to prove how we as Christians are right with God through faith, he goes back to Abraham, Genesis 15, 6, and says, God counted it to Abraham for righteousness because he believed God, his faith. His faith was accounted to him for righteousness. So, you know, all the way back in the Old Testament, again, faith and grace always go together. And the only way to be right with God is through faith, which, you know, again, when we come to God in faith, he has grace upon us. So that's a totally different thing than any kind of works-based type of salvation or pleasing God at all. So I agree with you totally, Mike.
Amen. Hope that helps, Daryl.
It does. It does. And thank you very much.
God bless you. And thanks so much for the call. If you need us, we're here for you. Stay in line. Send out some books, some DVDs. And with that, we'll go to Rudy, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Rudy. How may we help?
Yes, hi. I'm on the freeway right now driving, and now the traffic picked up. At any rate, it has to do with extraterrestrials. About a couple of years ago, somebody posted on probably on YouTube and probably Facebook as well, and it's right by my house on Blue Diamond Road. It was you look at the hills, and you could see this huge saucer above the hills, and the person who was filming this on their phone, they're talking to whoever they're next to, saying, oh my goodness, take a look at that. Me and my wife watched this over and over again. We saw this thing hovering, and it kept heading towards the strip, and it took off. It was super huge, and then I guess it must have been like about a few days later, it was taken off. So I don't know what that explains, how to explain that, but I remember years ago a pastor once said the Bible doesn't mention anything about extraterrestrials, so we have to be silent about it. But I'm curious.
I believe that the Bible does talk about it. I think it's pretty clear if you read the scriptures that is it any wonder that Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. I don't think that that for the devil to transform himself into something else would be that hard to believe. Of course, there's no tangibleness, but it is imagery. And also, you know, you're pretty close there to Area 51, and I know there's a lot of experimental top secret government type of aircraft that they experiment with regularly. I've been out that way, driving down to L.A. from, or actually down to Arizona from Idaho, and you pass fairly close to Area 51. I've seen things in the sky down there I can't explain. I saw a light go from one side of the horizon to the other side of the horizon in probably about, oh, I would say less than 10 seconds. I've never seen anything travel that fast before. I think they do experiment with a lot of things out there. Maybe that's something you saw. However, I do believe that, that Satan and, can transform himself into these different forms and shapes to mislead the world. Certainly, I believe during the rapture of the church, the Bible says a strong delusion will be sent upon the world that they'll believe a lie. What happened to all the Christians? And it may very well be that they'll say the UFOs got them, or the earth has purged itself of the undesirables, or whatever. They're going to say something really dumb. But I always think it's interesting that it appears to me that they're capable of changing form. And so this to me would be probably where that would be. As far as people from, or creatures from other planets, I don't believe that. I think it's too far away to make anything like that happen. When you realize the number of light years, the speeding travel at the speed of light, and how many thousands of light years it would take to get to the nearest star, I just don't believe that anything would do that. I think what we have here is, as the Bible says, the prince of the power of the air, Satan. And it's interesting to me that he can transform himself into, I think, many different shapes and sizes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Rudy. You know, first of all, here's what I would say, and it kind of goes on what Mike was first saying, or what Mike was saying about, you know, in your area and all the tests that occur and things there. You know what? When it comes to UFO sightings, and I know there are some prophecy teachers that really put a lot of stock in this. They talk a lot about it. They make a really big deal out of it. Some claim to have even talk, you know, do interviews with people who have been abducted by aliens and all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't trust our government. That's the main thing I would say when it comes to seeing these sort of things. I don't get too bent out of shape about it because, and I'll tell you why, because number one, I don't see it in scripture. I don't see in scripture, the evidence, you know, for UFOs and for that even being an issue. Jesus never mentioned it. The prophets never mentioned it. It's not brought up in scripture. And I think if it was a real serious thing that was real in the last days, that it would be mentioned. Also, the Bible doesn't mention any other life forms other than what's on planet Earth. So that would lead me to believe then that there's not. And if there is, by some chance, and God just didn't tell us about it, then we don't need to concern ourselves about it because he never gives us any kind of instruction on worrying about it or being concerned about it or watch out for it or anything like that. I think, again, like Mike said, I think the thing we need to watch out for is the devil and his deception. And in the last times, you know, we see what's going to happen in the last days is Satan is going to use every tactic he can to be able to deceive people. Now, I do believe that the fascination with UFOs and the idea that so many people are convinced that they're real and they're real extraterrestrials and all of this, I do believe that will produce this idea. And many good prophecy teachers agree with this, that it's going to produce this thought that when the rapture happens and all of these millions of Christians are gone from the earth just that fast, that they will say that the aliens took them. That's a very big idea in the New Age movement, that all of us who, you know, were upsetting the harmony of the world, one day we're going to, something's going to be done about it. We're going to be taken off the earth. And so I would say the whole idea about UFOs is going to be a good scapegoat. It's going to be a good argument for people to use after the rapture happens to be able to try to explain what happened to all these Christians. So that would kind of be my view on it, Mike.
Yeah, and you find this fortified in many of the movies of late, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and it shows abductions of human beings and on it goes. But again, when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll just – let you know, because I believe it's so important that we understand really how the enemy works, because again, he loves to do this. Chapter 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I think that it isn't hard for him to transform himself into anything, for that matter. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. That's why I was going to ask some scripture to support. And 2 Corinthians
11:14. And depending on what version you look at, it even gets a little more crazy. Amplified, no wonder Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. I'm just going to read some of these here for you, because again, as we look at this, let me get down here a little bit farther. Let's see here, unless you got some there. New American Standard, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Masquerades as an angel of light, changes himself to look like an angel of light, depending on what version you look at. But they're all pretty consistent with this ability to make himself appear as something other than he is. And so I believe that's a very real possibility. Just as you said, the Bible doesn't mention life. And in all of our space explorations, going to the moon, Mars, they haven't even found a microscopic bug anywhere but on this planet. Nowhere does life exist, far as we know, with all of our technologies, other than on this planet only. Now, to me, that's pretty amazing, because that's what the Bible says. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. It was jaw dropping for me and my wife to actually see something physical, you know, and so Satan can actually even make something physical.
Yeah, that's what it says. So again, 2 Corinthians 11:14, I think, gives you a pretty good outline there of his abilities, what he's capable of. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. So I hope that helps.
That does. That really does. Thank you so much, you guys.
Stay online. Send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy, Rudy. And with that, we'll go to Melinda, Meridian, Idaho, up by Boise. Hi, welcome.
Hello. My question is, does the solar eclipse that's happening here in the next week or so, does that have any significance to the Bible and the end times?
I don't believe so, because there's always been solar eclipses. Now, if it goes dark all over the entire earth, I would say, yes, this is probably a pretty good sign. However, basing it and going back just a few years, this same type of eclipse, came through, the Intermountain West and all. We were able to see it go dark at about, 8:30 in the morning. It just went back to dark again. And, people reported that their chickens were going back to roost and, all these kinds of things. Your thoughts?
Mike, I totally agree with you 100%. I really don't think it really has any impact on end times prophecy or anything like that. I do know there are people making a big deal out of the path of the last eclipse we had and now the path of this one. And if you look at the paths, look at there, they make the ancient letter of in Hebrew of the letter Aleph, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I'm telling you, I think that is all sensational nonsense. You know, I mean, I took Hebrew for 5 years. I understand, you know, what those Hebrew letters look like. And I see what they're trying to say, but I don't see it in the Bible. That's the thing. And everybody wants to make something of everything, I've noticed. And I would be very careful on this of falling into really thinking this is something important because, you know, when the last eclipse went through, in fact, both of them, the last one and this one is going right over our area. In fact, the last eclipse in Festus, Missouri, we had like the absolute best place in the whole country to see it. And it was incredible to watch. But like Mike said, these things have always been on. But also, you know, when that last eclipse happened, it happened right off the bat of, remember this, of the blood moons. Remember that? Oh, yeah. Everybody was losing their mind over the blood moons and trying to do the calculations from the time, you know, that Israel became a nation and all of this. And boy, this is going to be significant and all that. Well, the blood moons, people made a lot of money off a lot of books. The blood moons come and went. And it really, in my opinion, I don't see any impact it made whatsoever. I do understand that the Bible saying that God has made, you know, the moon and stars and the sun and all of that for signs and things like that. But I really think that has more to do, with seasons and things like that. I really don't put much stock into this kind of stuff at all. So I didn't, when the blood moons happened, I didn't jump on that bandwagon. I didn't teach it to our church. I didn't tell people, hey, this is a sign of the end. And I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either. And because
I won't do it with this either.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think these have occurred ever since the beginning of God creating everything. Anyway, I think there's much more, prophetical things happening than solar eclipses right now. And so we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your healthcare. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Are you ready to study to show yourself approved? A workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? In this sad, lonely, and lost generation, people need help. They need Jesus. And who can present the gospel better than you? Calvary Chapel University wants to be a helper of your joy, so you can go out and make disciples who make disciples. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today, and you'll earn outstanding scholarships. Most of our CCU graduates graduate early or on time, debt-free, and sound doctrinally. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today. Skip Heitzik is one of our faculty members, and David Guzik is not only a board member, but he just earned his Master of Divinity at CCU. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today, and watch God move powerfully in your life.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Monday afternoon. Again, we have Scott Parker with us from Festus, Missouri, Calvary Chapel. I'm Mike Kessler in Twin Falls, Idaho. And once again, we'd both like to see you in church this Sunday on Easter. Invite somebody to come. I know you're going to have a great time if you show up at Scott's Church, blessing, hearing God's word taught. I know you're going to get blessed here in Twin Falls as well if you come. And we even got mini donuts this Sunday. I look forward to that. It's always great. Fresh donuts. We'll have fresh donuts. So it'll be a good time. Good opportunity to invite non-believers to church or marginal believers to church, because it's so important that they hear God's word, get that thirst for righteousness, and then God will transform their life as he always does. When we went to the break, we were speaking with Melinda concerning the upcoming solar eclipse. Is there any biblical significance? We have much more, dear, that I think should be concerning all of us. China's aircraft and warships surround Taiwan as the threat of an invasion skyrockets. That's one of the news stories right now on the Daily Express. This possibility of World War III starting, I think, is a much more of a threat than a solar eclipse. And one of the things that we find here is they perceive America right now to be weak, and it is. And there's no doubt about it. Have you heard these things? They keep repeating it so often to try to convince the American people that it's completely the opposite. We have a relatively secure border. We do not have a secure border. That is a lie from the American news media, brought on by a corrupt Democratic thing, whatever it is you want to call it, in Washington, D.C. Over 180,000, almost a quarter of a million, 180,000 evaded capture who are in our country illegally that we don't even know who they are. Yes, that's how secure your border is. Do you know that is way more people that you need to overthrow a nation? Do you know how big of army that is? 180,000 people that that our poor Border Patrol has completely lost track of. They don't even know. They never even went through the proper channels. As drugs pour across our border, oh no, the Democrat Party, the party of crime, is reigning supreme now. They are overthrowing your government, by the way. America, you need to understand that. You know, I read a story last week where they said 151 Democratic people in the House of Representatives said they do not want ex-military people that serve their country to have weapons. Now, you'd have to ask the question, why? Well, they're up to something. And by the way, what we saw go on in Russia over the weekend, they blame ISIS. You know, something important to remember, we don't know who's coming across our border, friends. It's going to be happening here as regular, I believe, as gas stations on the corner. Because, you see, the problem is we are letting anyone in our borders. The broken immigration system. Friends, there is nothing broken in our immigration system. It's the federal government's absolute refusal to enforce the law. They're what broke it. So why don't you fix it? Oh, no, it doesn't go along with the overthrow of America. Stress everything out. You know, they talk about the housing crisis and everything, and then you dump 10, 20 million illegal people in just the last 3.5 years. There's no accommodations for an extra 20 million people to come in our country. You see, they're collapsing the system. They put stress on the system. This is why you have graduated immigration. It's so what your infrastructure can handle the number of people that come in. We're not against immigration. We're against just having your borders overran. Absolutely. No country has survived in history with this. And America, unfortunately, everyone, go right on your calendar. Crazy Mike Kessler said, America is going to fall now because of this. Do you think I take any joy in telling you this? But it's unsustainable, everyone. Last week, our Congress just voted another $1.2 trillion more debt. More debt. On top of the $34 trillion we're already in debt. Everyone says it's unsustainable. Nobody's going to want our dollars. Your savings are wiped out. Your retirement is gone. This is what they're doing. And the American news media, the Alphabet networks, are so corrupt. You don't have any idea. I don't think how bad they really are. Well, inflation edged up slightly, 2%. No, that is not what's happening. Since Biden took office, inflation is at 19%. In other words, everything was 20%, roughly 20% cheaper 3.5 years ago than it is now. Absolutely. And so you put $1,000 in the bank, you now have $800 worth of buying power. You put that $1,000 in the bank for your future retirement, by the time these guys get done, you'll be able to buy an ice cream cone with it. You see, they're collapsing our system. They're doing it on purpose. They're part of the one world order, and they're completely despicable in every way. You know, really, honestly, we need to pray for them, because I believe God's fiery judgment will be upon them for what they did, lying to the masses for their own advancement. Again, there's no excuse for an open border. No country in the world can sustain that. Remember, the Romans were never conquered. Their borders were overran. Something we need to be remembered. So really, to answer the question, I don't think we need to be worried about, solar eclipses. But I do think we need to be concerned about global war. And it appears, as long as they perceive America as being weak, it's a very real possibility. Let's go to Miguel, Norfolk, Nebraska. Hi, welcome.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How may we help?
Just calling, like your last caller, about the solar eclipse. I just happened to stumble upon something on YouTube. It was Passion for Truth Ministries with Jim Staley.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going into the how it goes into, you know, the end of times and everything. He said a few things on there that just didn't quite sit right with me, and I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it. He thought that the seat of Satan was actually in Turkey, and that also referred to, and forgive me if I'm mistaken, but it's Gog and Magog, and how they were going to rise up against Israel.
Well, the Bible says Gog and Magog out of the far north. And what's interesting, Moscow is almost directly north of Jerusalem. I mean, within a few degrees. It's uncanny that it is that. Most everybody attributes Gog and Magog to Russia. Your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, Mike, that's exactly right. I totally agree with that. And, you know, when you look at the war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, what you see is you do see Turkey in its ancient name mentioned there as part of that Muslim coalition that will come against Israel during that time. But as Mike said, the whole issue with Gog and Magog, one of those names refers to a person and the other refers most likely to the nation of Russia. And so I don't see anything. I'll tell you this. I don't see anything. I never have. And I don't know any good, reputable Bible teachers that are good, that are especially good prophecy teachers that have ever mentioned anything about Turkey, the nation of Turkey, being, you know, the seat of Satan or the house of Satan or anything like that. Never heard that before. So I would be very careful in coming across things like this, you know, because people have a lot of fanciful ideas. And it just sounds very odd to me. So, Mike.
Hope that helps.
Yeah, just none of that seemed kind of right to me. I know, you know, I follow Pastor Greg Laurie, and yeah. I've never heard anything out of – and I believe he's a, you know, reliable person I can listen to, and he's upfront about what he thinks and is pretty much, you know, right and true. And yep. He's never said anything about – the sorts, and I just never thought any of that was right. You know, he named about he said there was a bunch of cities here in the U.S. that were named at Nineveh, and you know, it ends at this point and somewhere in the States. something about Egypt, and that's where it's all going to come down, and natural disasters or whatever follow after the solar eclipses that have been happening. So I just thought it wasn't, none of it was right. Oh, and he'd also mentioned that this is God's way of giving us clues about the end of times.
Well, you don't need that. All you need is to know that Jerusalem is under Jewish control. Luke chapter 21, that tells us what it's about, not an occasional solar eclipse. The United States is not mentioned in biblical prophecy, other than perhaps the young lions of Tarshish mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38. But I don't believe the United States is a player, which it should cause a little concern. Because number one, why do we have a series of natural disasters like a 21.0 earthquake up and down the west coast of the United States? They say San Andreas is long overdue. The Cascadia Fault off of Oregon, Washington, long overdue. We do know that during the very first part of the tribulation, remember, Revelation is written in order. It isn't popcorn. Oh, well, this looks like the seventh seal or what? No. It's all in order. It's all written in order so you can track it. So people who accept the Lord during the tribulation period will know that God's word is true and they'll have the faith to die for Christ. That's why it's written, not to scare Christians. It's the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And how much does Jesus need to be unveiled during the worst time in the history of the world, the tribulation period, for the tribulation saints? There's a huge number that come out of the great tribulation. They're found in Revelation chapter 6 as an example in other places. And so this is why I believe that's so important. But the United States is not mentioned. Why? I don't know. Is it taken out by a 20-30-0 earthquake up and down the west coast of the United States, then sets off Yellowstone, which then covers the United States in ash? I don't know. Is it a surprise attack from Russia and China together on the United States? Very probable, my friends. Let me tell you, I just read today again, Putin threatens global nuclear war, World War III, he calls it, daily against the United States. Check it out. Now, again, this to me is concerning. When you find somebody that globally is losing face over what's going on in the Ukraine, for somebody to be threatening this kind of stuff, I think you probably need to take him serious. Daily, North Korea is threatening South Korea. Daily. I mean, they set rockets off just to entice them. We see this everywhere. Israel today said Iran is fueling at least four fronts right now against the state of Israel. Iran is fueling this. Yet the United Nations, you know, Donald Trump said the United Nations isn't worth anything. And all the liberal news media went wild. I agree with him. And I'll tell you why I think the United Nations is bogus. I've shared this many times, but I can't say it enough. You see what Iran is doing on all these fronts. There's no condemnation from the United Nations for Iran to stop. You see no demand from the United Nations for Hamas, who started the war with Israel, to surrender. You see them demanding a ceasefire for Israel, but Israel didn't start the war. No, Israel, don't cease fire. Hamas must surrender. And until the United Nations gets honest and shows that they're really, really what they say they are, I would disregard them as well. I think they're just totally a clown show. I'm sorry, but when somebody else starts a war and you're told to stop fighting them, no, who's ever telling you that is really messed up. And that's the problem. Why is there no public outcry by the Democrats, even by the Republicans, even by the American news media? Hamas, surrender. It's over. You can end it today, but you won't surrender because there's no pressure to surrender. Isn't that amazing? So it shows America. Remember, the American news media, the politicians are lying to us. That would be like, well, we're making advancements now. Right now, it's it's 1944, and America's making advancements in against the Japanese and against Germany, and all of a sudden, a group of people call America for a ceasefire. Hey, we didn't start the war. Israel didn't start the war. Ceasefire, Hamas. That'll stop it. Just to let you know, Miguel. Hope that helps.
Yeah, no, it did. Just real quick, one more quick thing, and then I'll get off. I know there's other callers. Just the whole, with the whole solar eclipse, I didn't think it was right that he said God was giving us clues about what was going to happen, because if he's God, he knows what's going to happen, and he's not going to tell us.
Well, that's good observation. Jesus says, henceforth, I'll no longer call you servants. A servant does not know what his master is doing. From now on, I'm going to call you friends. It's God's good pleasure to let us know what's going on. Matthew chapter 24, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. What things? Global unrest, perplexity among nations. That means problems globally with no way out. We see it everywhere now. It used to be in maybe one pocket or another pocket. Right now, the threat of World War III, check your news headlines. It's everywhere, friends. We are in a different time than we've ever been before. Oh, people have been saying this for years and years. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether an atomic bomb is made in North Korea or the United States or China. It'll wreck your day. It'll also wreck the sea, and we begin to enter in this scenario that really starts looking like the first part of the tribulation period there, when the church is raptured and the white horseman goes out conquering and to conquer. Friends, we are in some exciting times. You know, a friend of mine, Jeff Smith, Chuck Smith's son, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, Mike, it would have been so neat to live at the time of Jesus, to see people's eyes grow out and people come back to life and the deaf hear and all those things. But he said, you know, it's just exciting right now because we're getting to see all these prophecies that have been through the entire Bible now coming true before our very eyes daily. Jesus said this. He said, you can discern this coming. You can discern that a storm is coming by looking at the sky. How is it that you cannot discern the coming of the Son of Man? He held them responsible for not recognizing it. Friends, I believe it is so explicit that we are not in a time like any other time. Work for the night is coming. I don't tell you, I'm not trying to be a news commentator. I'm trying to tell you America is not going to keep going on. We're too far in debt. We have too many enemies within and without. Work for the night is coming. Share your faith. Bring them to church on Sunday. If you got a hog tie them, bring them. Get them in there and if you can't tell them about the Lord, then let the pastor of the church do it. If you're going to a church that doesn't teach the Bible, get out of it. Mm-hmm. Stop supporting it. These liberal modernist churches that have embraced the whole social agenda of our society today and abandoned what Jesus said about what's right and wrong, what we see in Romans chapter 1, and they go, well, it's the new age. We're on the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Leave it. Stop supporting it. Let them go broke. They're not promoting the gospel. They're promoting Satan as an angel of light. Got to be careful, everyone. Hope that helps. God bless
you. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, real quickly, can I just share this real quickly for all of our listeners, the one that called a moment ago about the solar eclipse and all of this?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. What people do to say the solar eclipse is a sign from God and we need to pay attention. Here's the thing. To answer, like you said, to help answer our caller's question just now, it's what we need to know about the end times. God has told us in his word. Number one, we go by the Bible. Number two, what some of these people do is they go back to Genesis 1:14, where it says, you know, God made all the lights in the heavens and he made them for signs. And what they do is they take that and they say, see, God is going to use the sun, moon, and stars, and he's going to do things with them to give us signs about things that are going to happen. But the problem is the Bible doesn't say that. Jesus, in Matthew 24, Jesus talked about that during the tribulation, actually after the second, toward the end of the tribulation, he says, after the tribulation, those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven. Right there are the signs that God gives us in the scriptures about the last days concerning the sun, moon, and stars. It's that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven. And it's not an eclipse. It's not the sun was darkened for 30 seconds while you looked through your glasses and got to see it. No, like sun is darkened completely, you know, and no moon giving us light anymore. That's what it's talking about. Because when you come to the book of Revelation, at the very first half tribulation period, Revelation chapter 6, the sixth seal that Jesus opens is these cosmic disturbances. And it's these very same things Jesus said. It's again that the sun becomes black, the moon becomes like blood, stars fall from the heaven, asteroids are falling everywhere. So what I'm saying is, when people say God is giving us signs now about the end times in the heavens, and it's the solar eclipse, because the path of the solar eclipse, again, makes the shape of Hebrew letters, don't listen to that. Yeah, they are for signs, the sun, moon, and stars. But it's given to us by Jesus and by John in Revelation, and it's all for the tribulation period. It's not now. So again, people tried to do the same thing with the blood moon thing, and now they're trying with the eclipses. So just be careful. Don't listen to this nonsense. Stick with the Bible, because what we need to know about the end times, we have it in the scriptures, and we are able to discern what's going on in our world by what we were given in the scriptures. So I just want to throw that there for all of our listeners, so they really understand that this solar eclipse thing isn't that big a deal.
So, Miguel, Mike, I just want to say thanks so much for the question. I know we kind of expand on these things, but we have to, because the rotten American news media is not telling people the truth. No. They're just giving you a placebo, saying, oh, everything is good, our borders are secure, oh, everything is rosy, inflation is turning down now, everything is good. No, it's at 20%, 19%, the worst inflation in the United States since 1948. The worst. But does the American news media tell you the truth? No, just bits and pieces and fragments to bring all of us to the wrong conclusion. Shame on you, American news media. You're not worth the energy it takes to watch you. Let's go back to the phones. We have Victoria on the line, Portland, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Victoria. I'm from Idaho, actually.
Well, how may we help?
Yes, I have a question regarding actually our bodies after we die. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18 references the rapture, and it says the dead in Christ shall rise first, then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Why does God raise the dead in Christ if their bodies they're going to get new bodies after the Lord comes at the second coming anyway? And secondly, is there anything in the Bible that's referencing that cremation is not the will of God?
No, there's no verses that say that. It was just not the preferred way at all in the Bible. That out of respect, we are created in the image of God, and so out of respect, they would just let the body decompose naturally, and that's what they would do. Now, if you got cremated, does that mean you won't get a resurrected body? No, God's got the DNA of every person that ever lived on this earth. The dead in Christ rise first. To be absent from the body, Paul says, present with the Lord. Your spirit, the minute you die, goes to be with the Lord. The idea of soul sleep is not biblical. It's made up. When Jesus healed Darius's daughter, her spirit returned to her. It's very clear in the scripture. In 1 Kings, it tells us that 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah healed a little boy, his spirit returned to him. It doesn't say it woke up. But we need a body during to rule and reign with Christ. And that's what we get. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and God made us in his image. He made us just like God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are body, soul, and spirit. So to be completely redeemed, God has got to give us that brand new body. And Paul in Romans 8 actually talks about the redemption of our body, that when the rapture happens, we're going to experience our redemption or our salvation to the fullest we ever have. And I would also say this, 1 John 3:2, John says that what's going to happen is it has not yet been revealed what we shall be after the rapture, but we know that when he's revealed, we'll be like him. So what will our glorified bodies be like? They'll be just like the body of the Lord Jesus. So praise God for that, Mike.
Amen. A brand new body, one that's not under the curse. This one's under the curse. That's why it gets old, dies sick, all those things. The new one doesn't. Something to look forward to. Victoria, stay online. We'll get those out to you. Thanks, Scott, for being on the line. And keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.